the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the entire program today, because we have some more beautiful Christmas music for you, and we have the third installment in our short series, Yuletide Thoughts from the Preacher, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, all of this week, from Monday through Sunday, we are taking a break from our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts to bring you these special Christmas messages. I hope you are enjoying them, and I hope you'll let me know, write me, email me, call us, and let us know how you enjoy our special Christmas week. Well, just before we have all of that, I have also read some letters this week, and I'd like to read another one from North Carolina. Thank you so much for all you do and are doing for Christ. We will pray for you and God's work. I know you are praying for us. Thank you. And we do. We pray for all of our dear listeners. God will be there for us whatever we go through. God bless you and stay safe. Your friends in Christ. What a nice letter. I appreciate it so much. If you enjoy the Gospel Hour, I would love to hear from you. You can write us a letter. You can email me. You can phone if you would like. However you would like to let us know how you feel about the Gospel Hour, I would love to hear from you. Well, right now, let's hear some more Christmas music by the Gospel Hour singers and musician, and then our message, God's Gift Supplies All We Need. Enjoy the music, and then Dr. Green.
the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Direct us, our Father, as we study today. In Jesus' name, honor thy precious, powerful, life-giving word and save someone today. This Christmas week, our Father, may many be saved. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday I read Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then I read in Hebrews chapter 7 and in verse 24 and 25, but this man, because he continueth ever, now note that, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, the messages this week will be around the birth and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I said yesterday that the birth of Jesus, the virgin birth, was a divine imperative. And then I hasten to say the death is just as much a divine imperative, was just as much. And the resurrection is the seal. Romans 1:4, Christ is proven to be the Son of God with power. Now note that. Romans 1:4, I read it yesterday. By, not the virgin birth, not the miracles, not what he did, not what he said, but by the resurrection from the dead. Now wait a minute. He was virgin born. He did speak words of life. He did perform miracles that no mortal could perform. I emphasized all of this, but I said, if his ministry had ceased when they nailed him to a cross and placed him in a tomb, then, my friend, the devil could walk up to the gates of paradise and demand every spirit in paradise and send them to the lowest hell, because our salvation depends upon his ability, and he is able because he ever liveth. Now, that's the thing I want to get across to you. I thank God for the Christmas season. I thank God for the Easter season. I thank God for Thanksgiving season. I thank God for all of these special days when we remember the birth and the resurrection and we give thanks to God and so on. But, beloved, the greatest day of all days was the day that the tomb was found to be empty. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, who did work miracles, who did speak wonderful words of life, that day when he bodily walked out of the tomb. Now, I want to emphasize this, and then I'm going to move on to another phase of the message. Wherefore, he is able also. Wherefore. Now, that points back to this man, Jesus, because he continueth ever, that is, eternal. Because he is eternal, he hath an unchangeable priesthood. Because he lives, because he is eternal, because death could not change his priesthood as it did Aaron and others. Because he is alive, he is able to save to the uttermost. Now, that's what I talked about yesterday. And I don't care how far in sin you may have gone, he is able to save your soul. But that's not all. That's not all. Now, in 1 Peter 3:18, I read this yesterday, but I did not emphasize the part that I'm going to emphasize today. Now, in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath suffered, once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might be R-I-N-G, bring. That he might bring. Now, let me illustrate this, and this may not be a good illustration, but this is what comes to my mind. I am in the middle of a huge lake. My boat capsizes. There is another fisherman just across from me. He has a boat. He rushes over and he throws to me a lifeline and he saves me from drowning. But then the very moment that he saves me and pulls me from the waters that would have claimed my life and taken my life, his boat capsizes, and he too is in the same predicament that I am. There we are in the middle of a giant lake. He had a boat. He rescued me, but he lost his boat, and now we're both in the same predicament, and we'll both drown. Now, why am I saying that? As I said, that may not be a good illustration. That's the thing that came to my mind. Now, here's what I'm saying, beloved. I thank God that 36 years ago plus, one night, Jesus saved my soul. But he is not only able to save me, but he placed me on board the salvation ship or the ark that will ride the waters of hell and all that the hell has to hurl against me. And he will bring me to God. Now you say, Brother Green, that's fatalism. No, that's the gospel. No, that's not fatalism. That's the gospel, my friend. Jesus, now man, that is man. Well, let me go back to the first man, Adam. He sinned. He did not seek God. God sought him. He did not call God. God called him. And God said, what have you done? And when Adam told God that he had eaten the fruit, then God lovingly, tenderly provided a blood covering, coats of skins. And then in mercy, God drove him from the garden and God protected the tree of life lest he eat and live forever in a body of flesh and pain. And God took care of Adam from the beginning, the author, and the ending, the finisher of saving grace and faith. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. Some of you people listening to me there in your homes today, in your automobile, in your place of business, you believe that Jesus is the Savior of sinners, and you believe that he could save you, and that he would save you, and that he wants to save you. And you believe that you could be saved, but you say, Brother Green, I just could not live for God. The life I live and the place I work and the family in which I was born and the community in which I reside and the people with whom I come in contact and the friends that I have, it would be utterly impossible for me to live a Christian life. He is able. He is able. Beloved, the God who provided the gift that saves sinners, in that gift, that is the Son, the only begotten Son, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, his name shall be called Wonderful. In that gift, God provided everything, all things, things that are conceivable and things inconceivable. You cannot conceive. There is no way for man to even think in terms of what God has provided for you and for me and for all who love the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as personal Savior. Writing to the believers in the church at Ephesus, Paul declares it in these words, "Now unto him that is able, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," see, "he is able to supply all that we conceive," that is, all conceivable needs, "and if there are any that I cannot conceive of, inconceivable," that is, "if a need arises out yonder that I don't even think about, know about, or even suspect, then he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." The power. Now remember, this man hath an unchangeable, unchanging, unending, forever priesthood, because he rose again, because he conquered death, because he ever liveth to make intercession. Therefore, he is able to save, he is able to keep, he is able to sustain, he is able to provide any and all need that we may have as a believer. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. When God saves us, that is, when we exercise faith in Jesus and God accepts us into his family, and we are accepted in the beloved, and we become a child of God through faith in Jesus' shed blood and finished work, God puts within us, not outside or around, but within us, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going away, but it'll be much better even then, because now I'm with you, then I will be in you." And he spoke of the Holy Spirit. Now, all who are born again are possessors of the Holy Spirit, and as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now listen to this. Christ is made unto us wisdom. So first, all that I need to know about Christian living, God will give me the wisdom to conceive and understand all that I need know as a babe, and then as I grow, and then as I become more mature as a spiritual person, a child of God, a son of God, then God gives me wisdom to understand. God gives me wisdom to comprehend and conceive of the need, and then God shows me how that need is supplied in Christ through his word, through the Holy Spirit. Let me say this, and if you'll try to grasp the statement that I'm about to make, then you'll understand everything else that I've said, or everything else that I could say, or anything else that I could say about God's all-sufficiency in Christ. When God saves, and God does save you, God saves us, Ephesians 4:33, God saves us for Christ's sake. God saves us. Now, Jesus is the Savior. God saves us when we believe on Jesus. Now, listen carefully. God Almighty is perfect and holy and righteous, and God cannot sin, and God cannot be tempted with evil, James tells us in the first chapter. God cannot be tempted. God cannot sin. God is holy and righteous. Now, God provided salvation. And the salvation that God provided is just as perfect, just as pure, just as holy, just as righteous, just as complete as God himself. I'm saying, when God saves you, when God saves me, we are saved with a perfect salvation, nothing lacking. Colossians 2:10, you are complete. You are complete in him, Christ. Colossians 2:10. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Then Romans 8:31. Since God is for us, who can be against us? God that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. In all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8, 31, 32, and 37. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to supply all conceivable need, and he is also able to supply all that is inconceivable. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, all that we think, according to the power that worketh in us. And the power that worketh in us is none other than the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, by exceeding great and precious promises, we are made partakers of divine nature. If you are a born-again Christian, you are a partaker of God, that is, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Father, at this Christmas season, when we think of the birth of our Lord, may we remember that he was born to die, and may we know that death could not hold him. He rose again. And because he lives, we live. And because he lives, he is able to save to the uttermost, and he is able to supply every need. Save every soul that's under conviction now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. I hope you enjoyed our special Christmas message today and receive the blessing as you listened. These special Christmas messages continue all week, so I hope you will tune in again tomorrow and every time that you can. If you would like to contact us, write us, or donate to the ministry, here's Mr. Tom Harvey to tell you how to do so.
Friends, to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free, Monday through Friday, between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.